All right, we're talking on the subject of living in the supernatural. And this particular lesson today is called The Word of the Kingdom. The Word of the Kingdom. I'm going to read starting at verse 5 of Galatians 3. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And I said that word faithful could be translated believing. All right, we're again come some ways here talking about this living in the supernatural, and that God plans for us to operate supernaturally. The Bible is a supernatural book. Did you know that? The Bible is a supernatural book from beginning to end, supernatural. Did you know a marriage is supernatural? Some of y'all may not know that. In Ephesians, this is not my lesson now, I'm just a little rabbit trail. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 31, it says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. You know something? But I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's a great mystery. It's a mystery because God makes two people one in a marriage. See, that's a mystery. Mystery means something beyond human comprehension. So marriage is a mystery. And marriage is a miracle. And I'm just letting you know that because some of y'all need to hold on to that. Okay. All right, but the Bible is a supernatural book. Jesus lived supernatural. He taught the supernatural. You saw Jesus out walking on water, and Peter was there. Peter said, Lord, if that be you, tell me to walk on the water. Jesus said, Peter, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. About the time when Jesus told them to feed the multitude. Now here, he knew they didn't have a supply at hand to feed the multitude. But he's going to show them how to operate in the supernatural. And then one of them said, there's a lad here. He has two fish and five loaves of bread, a two-piece fish dinner. And he said, but what is that among so many? One of the disciples said that. Jesus, that's enough. He said, give it to me. So he taught them how to feed multitudes when you don't have enough, naturally. About the time he stopped a storm. I mean, what do you know in the natural that can stop a storm? Nothing. But Jesus stopped it with words. And then he looked at them and said, where is your faith? Why did you do this? So for him to ask them, why didn't they do it? He must have taught them first. Say amen to that. Amen. So God plans for you and I to walk or live supernaturally. Isn't that wonderful? When we look at this, Jesus came to reintroduce something called the kingdom of God. Okay? The kingdom of God is the government of God. That was in the Garden of Eden. I'm not going to stay here long. He said over Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, he came introducing the kingdoms, saying that the kingdom of God, put it up on the board, please, when I mention it. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. He came and said, now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, what I told you repent means is a change of your mind. It means to change the way you're going. Go the other way. And the reason why you have to change the way you're going is because once Adam sinned, the Bible says Satan became the god of this world. Not big G, little g. And he set up a system called Babylon. And the system of Babylon is a world trying to meet its needs apart from God. And that's why it's going the wrong way. Because the Bible said in Proverbs 14, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. And so people go down that path, and what they do, and we all been down this, is we try things to see if this works. Let me try something to see if this, let me try this marriage, see if this will work. Let me try this job, see if it works. And let me try this car, see if it works. But we try things, and we get a lot of what doesn't work to finally get to what does work. You know, I used to hear the preacher say, try Jesus. And you tried everything else. So in this, he came to reintroduce the right way to go, because the kingdom of God is what every person is seeking. They're seeking joy in their life. Well, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. They're seeking provision in their life. The kingdom of God is loaded with provision. And what I'm going to do in this series is show you how to get your needs met independent of the circumstances around you. Because that's what you can do. You can be on top of Mount Vesuvius and get your needs met if nobody's there. See? Because if you have the word of the kingdom, it'll produce kingdom results. Okay, is this the right bunch? Do I have to wait on the next one? All right? So, notice, just about everything in the world system is diametrically opposed to the way it should be. It's out of line, but it has the same form. Satan doesn't invent anything. He copies everything. So he's tried to copy the kingdom of God with God in it and leave God out of it. You got what I'm saying? All right? So, in that, now, Jesus comes, he reintroduces the kingdom, and then he shifts the power. The power, the Bible says over in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1, is not, it was on the side of the enemy. The power was on the side of the devil. Who gave it to him? Adam gave it to him. And Satan said over in Luke chapter 4, when he tempted Jesus, all this will I give you and the glory of them, for they have been delivered to me, if you will bow down and worship me. And that's when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. All right? So the power was on the side of the enemy. You never saw anybody in the Old Testament cast out a devil because they didn't have that power. But the power came when Jesus came. I said, there's a new sheriff in town. All right. Now, Jesus then showed the disciples in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he said, I beheld Satan when he sent the disciples out to go two by two into the various places that he sent them. And they did miracles and so forth and so on. And Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now notice the power shifted back again. So who is the power in the hand of? It's in the hands of the church. Now, it's not in the hands of people who are not saved, because they don't have any power of the devil. It's in the hands of people who are born again because the power mechanism came inside of them. Okay, put up Luke chapter 17, please, and Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. Over in Luke chapter 17 and verse 20, it says, and when he had demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with what? Observation, because it comes with revelation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is where? In you. Once you get born again, the whole kingdom comes inside of you. Now, it's invisible, but it's designed to produce for you, lead you to, create for you everything you have need of, independent of what's happening around you. The kingdom will do that. Say amen to that. All right. I don't have time to go through that, but we went to one more place, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Put that up there, please. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, giving thanks to the Father which has made me, made us meet. That word meet is an old English word, means able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Underline light in your Bible. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Not delivering, delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into where? The kingdom of who? His dear son. Where are we? Where are you? I know you're in Chicago. Where are you? You're in the kingdom. You got what I'm saying? Now, the kingdom is invisible, but it is a reality, and you are in it. And in that kingdom, you are protected. But it won't work for you if you don't know it. It won't work for you if you don't believe it. He said, 1,000 may fall at your side. Come on. 10,000 at your right hand. Come on. But it shall not come nigh you. That you are protected in a kingdom that people can't see, but you know is there and will manifest in your life. Say amen to that. Ooh, Lord. All right, now we talk about the word of the kingdom. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, please. The word of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13. You know what I'd do if I wasn't saved? I'd get saved, boy. This is a big reason to be saved. You will never have to worry again about anything. The Bible says in the kingdom you are anxious for what? Nothing. You don't have to worry about a thing. I don't care. The worst piece of bad news can come to you and all you do is just lay back. Say, praise God, I'm going to cast it all over on Jesus because Jesus is caring for me. Say amen to that. Now, I'm not talking about get lazy. I said just lay back. Praise God. All right. Look what it says here. Look at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, underline it, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the what? Wayside. All right, now I won't read the rest of that because he's talking about here the parable of the sower. Now, I'd like you to just consider something very quickly. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 15 and look at Matthew chapter 15 and let's look at verse 3. But he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Underline tradition. All right. Go down to verse 7. Ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You with me? Look at verse 6. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of what? None effect by your what? Tradition. All right, let me show you two ways this works. There's a story I used to tell, and you might have heard it before. But it was a woman, and she had gotten married, and she was fixing some dinner for her husband, new marriage, and she had a roast, and she cut the end off, put it in the pot, put it in the oven. Now, her husband asked and said, sweetheart, I noticed that you cut the end off the roast and put it in the oven. Why'd you cut the end off of it? Said, the pot was plenty big enough for the roast. She said, I don't know. Mama did that. She said, let me call Mama and find out. Mama, why I cut the end off the roast, but I saw you do it all the time. Why did you do that? Mama said, baby, I don't know. Big Mama did that. So they called Big Mama. Big Mama, we noticed you cut the end off the roast and put it in the pot and cook it. Why'd you cut the end off the roast? Oh, baby, I cut the end off the roast because the pot was too small. People in the church do stuff. Watch this. And have lost a revelation of why in the world am I doing that? So because they have, and it's become tradition, it has no power. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Let me read you some of these things. People have lost the revelation of the blood of Jesus. That used to be a teaching. The Bible talks in Romans chapter 3 about faith in the blood. The blood of Jesus is so powerful. Watch this. You can plead the blood over your child before they go out. And this one witch that switched said they tried to get close to this child, but the blood was over this child and they couldn't even get to him. Not only that, the blood cleanses your conscience. That means people who have been abused when they were young, I mean molested and so forth, many times they grow up with a consciousness of that. It starts affecting their future and their life. They can take the blood, watch this, and purge all thoughts of that. The blood will do that. Not only that, the blood will speak. When you're in trouble and you see things coming on you that are impossible, just confess what God said. And that confession goes up to heaven, and the blood that's on the mercy seat also cries out the same thing. And because of two witnesses, God will move on your behalf. The blood. How about speaking in tongues? People even laugh about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the way the early church got the advantage in this earth. The Bible talks about over in Romans 8, when you pray in the Spirit, you pray not to men, but to God. And when you do pray to God, you pray the perfect will of God for a situation. So you'll have maybe your family members, maybe a saint in the church, you'll have them in trouble, and you can pray in the Holy Ghost. Now you don't know what to pray for, so the Bible says pray in the Spirit. And you pray in the Spirit. Other people laugh at it, but you're getting the job done. Because you're praying the language of heaven. Not only that, how about the name of Jesus? Somehow we'll drop a piece of paper and say, oh, Jesus. Well, see, I don't know whether that person really knows the power of that name. Because when you really know the power of that name, you just don't throw that name around. Because when you speak that name, demons tremble. Communion. Communion ain't just drinking some wine or some juice. Communion is healing time. Communion is deliverance time. Demons cannot stand communion. How about impartation? I'm talking about laying hands on somebody. That is a way of the ordination and so forth. You can actually, a person can lay hands on somebody and the gifts that are in that person will flow into this person, and this person never went to school to get them. I'm talking about supernatural. How about praise? Praise is very significant. People come to praise, but people who don't know God don't know the value of praise. Father, the Bible says praise will still the enemy. No, you got to look that up in the Amplified. Praise will make the devil shut up. I'm talking about the enemy speaking into your mind saying, you're going to die. Oh, you got a heart attack coming. Oh, look what they're saying about you. People don't like you. Go forth. That's the devil's talk. You need to start praising God. Not only will praise God do that, praise will launch angels. Angels will launch on your behalf because of your praise. Praise is the way that you bring God right down into your situation. I'm talking about praise. How about favor? Lord have mercy. Favor ain't fair. Folks, favor is a powerful thing. In other words, you're not going to go any higher than the favor of God enables you to go. If you look in this Bible, even in Luke's gospel and Luke chapter 2, let me turn to it right quick. In Luke chapter 2, it says in verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. If Jesus had to have favor, don't you think you might have to have favor? Favor determines the limits of your destiny. Favor is something that God gave you to enable you with the grace of God to do what God's called you to do. One encounter with favor is worth a lifetime of labor. Oh, Lord, no, you didn't get me. You turn to Exodus. Go to Exodus, please. And Exodus chapter 3 with your smart self. Exodus chapter 3. Folks, I declare favor every day. Father, I thank you that favor is on my life, producing supernatural increase, promotion, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preferential treatment, petitions granted, policies and rules changed, and battles won, which I do not have to fight. The favor surrounds me like a shield. How about the woman named Esther? Esther, she couldn't be called into the king's palace unless the king sent for her. But Mordecai said, Esther, you got to go up there because you are sent for such a time as this. And Esther put on her royal robe and donned herself with her royal apparel and stepped into the king's chamber. And the king pointed his scepter at Esther. Esther, what is it that you want? I'll give it to you up to half my kingdom. I'm talking about when God gives you favor, people that don't like you will give to you. If you place the value of favor that God intended, it will take you places that your destiny has been predetermined. It'll give you strength. It'll give you speed. It'll give you promotion. I'm telling you, favor was on Noah. Favor was on Joseph. Favor was on Gideon. Favor was on Abraham. Favor was on David. Favor was on Solomon. Favor was on Daniel. Favor is on me. Praise God. That's why I got raised up. This is your year of God's favor in your life. Say amen to that. I won't read this out of Exodus chapter 3 because I need to quit here. Praise God. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Favor will give you what a lifetime of labor will give you. Favor will give you that with one encounter. One encounter with favor will give you what you work for a lifetime. Folks, favor ain't fair. The world doesn't have favor. Favor is God coming in on your behalf, even though you don't deserve it. But only because you're a seed of Abraham, the favor of God is on you right now. Now, how about prayer? Just plain old prayer. I won't go to these scriptures, but you can write them down. This is Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 56. And what happened was, the disciples noticed, man, I didn't mean to preach that hard. The disciples noticed that people didn't come out to Jesus' meeting. And Jesus said, one of the disciples said, Master, call fire down on them and burn them up just like, you know. Jesus said, wait a minute, you don't know what spirit you're of. And they went to another village. Now, why didn't the people come out? The people didn't come out because somebody didn't pray. They didn't pray for that village. Jesus prayed for Jerusalem. The Bible says he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Wherever you're going, pray there first. Got it? Pray there first. And you can do that. Command your morning, it says in the book of Job. You can come. Don't just get up and start walking. Pray first. And then your steps will be ordered by the Lord. Isn't that a much better way to live? Prayer. He said, Lord, Luke chapter 11, verse 1, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. John had a meeting out in the wilderness, and people came by the hundreds. Folks, when you don't pray, they stay away by the hundreds. You know, we got newspapers and flyers, all kind of TV ads, but they didn't have that back in that day. All they had was prayer. And I'm telling you, we didn't got away from prayer. We think TV promos are going to do it. Folks, it's prayer that does it. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, let me show you a couple more things. We'll be out. The Word of God is the Word of the Kingdom. And the Word of the Kingdom comes with power. No, isn't that good preaching right there? All right, turn back to Micah. Now, I do not have all day for you to find Micah. So go back to your table of contents and break down and be humble and get Micah and then turn back. Don't be flipping to some scripture that you know ain't Micah, but you trying to save face. All right, Micah chapter 5. I'll read starting in first verse. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us, and they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. All right, I'll stop right there. Verse 2 is where I want you to focus in. Verse 2 says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. Now this is Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a place that Jesus was born. But it wasn't any Bethlehem. There's a Bethlehem in England. There's a Bethlehem in the United States, in one of our cities. But he didn't call those Bethlehem. He's talking about a specific spot in this earth that Jesus was going to be born. Bethlehem. Got it? That is the word of the kingdom, given by a prophetic utterance of the prophet. Got it? Now let's go to Luke's gospel. Look at Luke. Chapter 2. Over in Luke chapter 2. Let me know when you get there now. Look at Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Underline decree. Decree is a word which means to legislate. Glory to God. Preaching good today, man. From Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. So you see how much Rome owned everything. It was in authority over everything. And this taxing was first made in Cyrenius when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. It all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, now that's where Joseph was, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called what? Bethlehem. Because he was of the house of the lineage of David. He came out of Bethlehem, so he's going to have to go back to Bethlehem to pay the taxes. to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Does anybody not know what great with child means? All right, okay, all right. I take that as a no, okay? So now, so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be what? Delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, let me just clear this up first. This is not my message, but let me clear it up. Swaddling does not mean raggedy. It has to do with tightly wrapped garments. And the reason why they were in a stable is because there was no room at the Ritz. Let me come over here. At the Four Seasons. At, we'll leave the light on for you. At where? But anyway, they weren't there because they had no money. They were there because there was no room. Why? Because everybody was coming to pay taxes. But how did they get there? I know faith. We know faith in all of it. But how did they get there? Augustus made a decree that everybody's going to have to come back to their hometown to pay taxes. So they had to come back. But Mary just happened to be what? Great with child. So isn't it interesting how he made a decree at a time she was great? Is that the right bunch I'm talking to now? Now, isn't this something that now they come back and it just so happened, he came out of Galilee, that's where they were living. And it just so happened when they got back, they couldn't travel any further. Mary had to come for. They needed a room somewhere, but the rooms were taken up, so they got into a manger, and that's where they had this child. Are y'all with me? What made Caesar issue a tax at this time? I submit to you the word of God. Folks, once you release the word, back off, because the word is about to go to work. The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Quick means alive. When you release that word, everything comes with it. Why? Because in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word is God. God goes to work on your behalf. Come unto me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you work. I'll give you rest, praise God, work. All right, now my point to you is notice Jesus spoke to that fig tree, and he didn't stand around to see if the fig tree was going to dry up, did he? What did he do? He went on and took care of business. Why? Because once you release the word in faith, like these prophets did, even though it was hundreds of years before, something happened in another generation. I'm saying you got here because somebody prayed for you, was probably your great-great-grandmother, and that word will not return void. You didn't get in here because of your own good thoughts or your own whatever. You got in here because somebody prayed for you. Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the harvest. Notice, you got to even pray that God send somebody to get somebody saved. Yes, yes, yes. Say amen to that. Yes. And folks, we can pray and angels start working on our behalf. I'm saying all kinds of things happen when you pray. Prayer is a powerful thing. But when you pray, don't pray, Lord, prop me up on the leaning side. He don't want to hear nothing about that. You pray the word of God. And when you angels watch over that word. Angels make sure that word come to pass, and you're going to have what you pray. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, you're going to have what you pray. Yeah. So don't think you're just sending up a scatter shot. Once you pray, once it leaves your mouth, it's a done deal. I said, once it leaves, I'm going to bring faith and prayer back into this church. That when you pray, you know something's going to happen. I mean, the devil want to distract you from everything, but he's trying to keep you from getting on your knees. Because when you break them knees down, Jack, something about to happen. The devil knows he's about to give something up. Some money is about to come into your hands. That sickness is about to leave your child. I'm saying the job is coming in, and Jesus will be glorified. Well, do you understand what I'm talking about? These are things we got to get back to. Folks traditionally have thought of prayer is what to say. Oh, I tried everything else. Well, girl, why don't we pray? Oh, Lord, has it come to that? Has it come to that? You should have prayed the first time with your narrow self. You should have prayed the moment you had a problem. Pow! Folks, I'm going to tell you, some of y'all in here right now, because somebody prayed for you. Watch this. You don't want to be here. But the word is the controlling factor. Isn't this wonderful? All right, the last thing. Turn to Mark chapter 4. How we doing? We doing okay? Sometimes, you know, this person one time told me, she came up and told me, said, my aunt says she's not coming back here no more. I said, why? She said, because I told you all her business. I said, I didn't know you even know you had an aunt. She said, I know it. I said, didn't she know that the Holy Ghost tell me what to preach? She said, no. She said, I went up and told you all her business. Folks, the Holy Ghost will read your mail, and nobody ever told him anything about you. Because I got the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 4 real quick. Mark chapter 4. Look what it says here. He says, verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Verse 26. And he says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed is going to spring and grow up. He doesn't know how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle. Why? Because the harvest has come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? He's comparing it with something. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it's sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds, but that be in the earth. But when it is sown, what does it do? It groweth up. And what does it do? Becometh greater. All right. The word of the kingdom. Satan tries to get you to sow words of the kingdom of darkness. Yes. Words of the kingdom of darkness. Girl, you make me sick. That's words of the kingdom of darkness. You know you don't want to be sick, but you've been taught to say that. Oh, man, I'm just dying to go. Dying? Why you got to die to go? You don't need to die to go. Now, you'd think those words don't have any power to them, but they hold you back from your destiny. Because words are authority in the earth. And Satan waits on your words. So we got to always speak the words of the kingdom. Because those words are going to empower you and move you forward. Satan's words are designed to contain you. Make you stay right where you are. Say amen to this. So you got two sets of words. So you always want to speak God's word. How do you get God's word? Out of his book. Speak something in line with what God says about your life. Now, once it's sown into the kingdom. And that's all the time I got. Give the Lord a praise. I'm going to finish up that by time. I got to get you out of here. You know, God is good all the time.